Hello and welcome to the programme. You can visit the website anytime you like, rte.ie/Mooney. Yes, welcome to a very special edition of Mooney Goes Wild. This year, as you probably know, marks 30 years since Mooney Goes Wild first aired on RTE Radio 1. And for much of that time, we've been bringing you the sound of birdsong live on International Dawn Chorus Day. It's something we look forward to every year. It's become a real tradition for us and for many of you too. So for the next 55 minutes or thereabouts, we're going to take a look back at this year's marathon 7-hour broadcast of the Dawn Chorus, from the very first birds here in Ireland to the calls of distant birds in Finland. And we'll also be hearing from Mooney listeners at home and abroad.
And now we have a very special event on RTE Radio 1. Today, May 4th, is International Dawn Chorus Day. Around the globe, people have set their alarm clocks for very early in the morning to experience the joyful sound of birdsong. Many of them will be experiencing this natural phenomenon in the company of Mooney Goes Wild. So, let's join Derek Mooney and his team for the Dawn Chorus.
Thank you, Hugh. A very good morning to you, wherever you are in the world and however you're tuning in. On behalf of RTE, welcome to something a little bit magical. We're counting down to Nature's Symphony, the Dawn Chorus.
Email Mooney at rte.ie. The Dawn Chorus, live from Ireland on RTE Radio 1 and RTE Lyric FM.
Yes, indeed, live from Kuskany Marsh Nature Reserve in Cove. In just a few short hours, blackbirds, robins, wrens and countless other feathered performers will lift their voices and welcome the sun. But we're not rushing it. All through the night, we've got a full programme of nature-themed sounds and stories to guide you gently toward the morning. And thanks to our friends at RTE Lyric FM, we'll also be bringing you some truly inspirational music, composed by geniuses, inspired by birds. So, stay with us, settle in, and let the journey to the chorus begin. And just like that, at 4 minutes past midnight, the programme began. I was stationed here in Studio S71 in RTE, but the real experts, Jim Wilson and Niall Hatch, were at our main outside broadcast location at Kuskany Marsh Nature Reserve in Cove. And they were joined by Eric Dempsey from his home in County Wicklow.
Good morning, Derek.
Good morning.
It's just fantastic, as the forecast has been given. Often here down here in the real capital, we're hearing forecasts like, you know, rain spreading from the west later, and it's been bucketing down for the last 2 hours. So, but no, it's absolutely perfect weather-wise.
And Jim, we've done some dawn choruses in the past in some really horrendous conditions, where it's been howling gales and lashing rain. So that weather forecast earlier, that was music to our ears, wasn't it? It's what you need for dawn chorus, but it's also what you need for happy presenters.
Oh, absolutely. And we've already had a few birds making a few noises, but we won't be counting them as dawn chorus yet. So if there's any bookmakers out there taking odds, we had a moorhen, probably startled by something or other. And there was a mallard, I think, as well. And we could hear some oyster catch out in the harbour. But if you want to get a kind of a picture, an oral picture,
a soundscape, they'd say.
Yes.
Before we do that, Jim, will you just set the scene where exactly you are?
Birdwatch Ireland's newest nature reserve here in Kuskany Marsh on the Great Island in Cork Harbour. We're about 2 kilometres east of the seaside tourist town of Cove. Famous or infamous for Lusitania and Titanic and a lot of emigration, but this is a happier occasion with the Dawn Chorus. So we can actually see out out the harbour, in fact all the way out to the Atlantic from the reserve here at Kuskany Marsh. It's just perfectly positioned, and we've been so privileged to have the Dawn Chorus come from here.
And I think that what's the real beauty of this location here, Jim, at Kuskany Marsh, is that in a relatively small space we have a wonderful mix of habitats, and different habitats means different birds. So we're going to have hopefully our songbirds people recognise from their own gardens, and mixed with a whole lot of water birds, reed bed birds, we'll hear some of the coastal birds, yeah. And it actually blends into a really lovely mix.
I always describe Kuskany Marsh as a slice of ordinary Ireland in many ways. There is probably nothing here in Kuskany that you're not going to find in the right habitat somewhere on the island. And that's what's beautiful about it, because we would hope that people, if they're listening to it live or if they listen to it in the podcast later, they can actually go out and experience the Dawn Chorus, not unlike what they're going to hear this morning.
Yeah, it really is. It is a snapshot of the Dawn Chorus in Ireland. That's what I really love about it here. It's nothing too weird or too unusual, but it's actually it's really insightful, I suppose. It gives you a good overview of the main songbirds of Ireland. I love it.
Yeah, and also Little Grebe wants to get in on the act there. One of the most amazing sounds of the lake, or the lagoon as we call it. And, you know, so you've got all these habitats, and if I may, will I just give a brief run around to the different habitats? We've microphones out all over the place. Tom and Ruth have been very, very busy all day getting it all set up, and thankfully no wind. It's actually dead calm here at the moment. It is dead calm. So we'll start with the lagoon and the microphones there. We'll bring up that. Yeah, and you're hearing the sounds of the harbour in the background. It's a busy harbour. So, you know, it's very hard to get somewhere in Ireland now where the human sounds are not present. So you're hearing the harbour in the background. The lake is quiet. We'll just have a quick listen.
It's quite a bright moon tonight here. The sky is very clear, so some birds will actually even be feeding if they possibly
that's
can,
right.
if there's enough
that's
light
right.
to see what they're doing.
So that's the lagoon, and then we go to the wet woodland, often referred to as car woodland, basically alders, a lot of alder trees, and very wet underground, because we're actually below sea level where we're sitting here. Sorry now, Niall, for frightening you, but we're actually, there's a causeway at the very south end of the reserve between the lagoon and the sea, and we're actually, you know, if the causeway wasn't there, we'd be underwater probably.
My ankles are dry at the moment anyway, that's the main.
So then the car woodland, which is very wet woodland, basically.
Well, those very squelchy places that you went through, yeah.
Very quiet there. And we'll be reminding people of how quiet it has been at this time when you compare it to when it'll be in full chorus in the morning. So we'll go to the coniferous woodland. We've a small coniferous plantation, and you get specialist birds there sometimes, like the coal-tit tends to like conifers, and the
goldcrest, our smallest bird,
yeah. So all very quiet there. Then we have the deciduous woodland, and it's you can hear the water from the stream, the sconsel, which is the only stream on the island of any size.
It's actually very relaxing, isn't it?
And we have the stream itself, of course. We've got a mic there because sometimes we get the otters coming up, and there's kingfisher. They've been staying very late. We thought they bred last year. And we had otter more than once on the dawn, during the dawn.
Yeah, chorus, splashing through. And then they sometimes, those alarm calls we hear from the ducks in the mornings and so on, that it's the otters that have caused those.
Yeah. And finally then, if I haven't forgotten at all, is the farmland. So we've got microphones facing up along. There's a lovely ridge of sandstone, open farmland. And there used to be a rookery on the farm on the top, but they moved across to some trees on the other side. Let's have a listen to farmland. They're all They're all in bed.
They are. proper order as well, because they've got a busy morning ahead of them. So when that first glimmer of light appears in the sky, this place will come alive. And this is what I really love, I think, most about this Dawn Chorus experience, is this contrast. We've gone around those different habitats and different microphones now, and people at home might be thinking, well, it's very quiet. Is this going to be any good? It will be. Stay tuned. And the contrast between what you hear now and what you're going to hear in a few hours' time is like chalk and cheese.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I remember in the early days, you may remember that, Derek, we were starting to doze ourselves. Are these birds going to actually sing, you know? And of course, as sure as the sun comes up in the morning, the birds will sing, yeah.
They never let us down. That's the thing. No. Never in 30 years have they let us down. No. And the thing is that, you know, we're talking about there about the weather, the wind and the rain. They are the enemies of the Dawn Chorus. But the thing is, even with that, the birds will still sing. Yeah. It just means it's havoc for the microphones and it's much harder to actually pick them out. And so on a morning like today, we're hopefully going to have, it's going to be great, I think.
Well, Jim and Niall, I have something to say to you. Unihemispheric slow wave sleep.
Ooh, that's fancy.
USWS. Have you got it, ladies and gentlemen listening in? Unihemispheric slow wave sleep. Because we're all wondering, what are the birds doing right now? And everybody says immediately they're sleeping. Well, they are sleeping, but are they sleeping? Which one of you wants to explain?
Yes, indeed. Yeah. So they do sleep and they need to rest the way that we do, but it is very different. And when you're talking about the unihemispheric, we know now that birds actually can send one half of the brain to sleep while the other one is awake and alert. And the associated eye is also gathering light and is able to wake them up properly if danger comes. Birds also need a lot less sleep than we do. So it varies from species to species, but we think it's roughly about an hour in every 24-hour period that they really need. And it does not have to be in one go. They can grab a few seconds here and there. And actually, for most of the night, when we think they're sleeping, they're actually just sitting or swimming or standing there wide awake, just waiting there until there's enough light for them to start singing, because most birds won't start singing until there's enough light for them to see danger coming, because when they're singing they're giving away their location to every predator in the neighbourhood, so they won't do that unless there's enough light for them to see. Now there are some exceptions to that. Birds like the corncrake, for example, which we don't have right here in Kuskany, but they sing through the night, and that's a different driver behind that, but the consequence of that is that the birds with the biggest eyes are the ones who are going to sing first, because the bigger the eye, the more light it gathers.
They did some studies not too long ago on penguins, and they micro nap. And it, like you said, it can be literally just a few seconds, but they might do it, apparently, according to this paper, over 1,000 times during 24 hours.
Wow.
So they literally are just giving the brain brief rest. Brief rest, and it kind of mounts up to enough that they don't need it. And some people have asked, how do they know that? Like, sure, how could you find out that a wren is doing that? Well, some very really fantastic research was done on the frigate birds, and these are very big. They're as big as a gannet or big as seabird. And the thing about them is they don't have waterproof plumage.
It's weird for seabirds.
But they go out, and they're called sea pirates as well, because they chase other birds for their food. But they can't land on the water, and they can be out for 2 or 3 weeks. And those birds were big enough to put brain sensors on their head. And what they discovered was they were capable of REM sleep, which is rapid eye movement, which is like when we dream.
Well, so that was going to be my next question, but go on anyway.
What they discovered was they have huge wings, but when they're soaring up, they snooze, and when they're gliding down, they snooze. So even though they're not on land for 2 or 3 weeks at a time, they're still getting a chance to sleep, and that was our first solid indication. Like, we had an idea with mallard, because birds on the outside, they could the eye facing out from the group, the flock was open, and the one on the inside was closed, so they were keeping an eye out for danger. Yeah. Sleep on the wing, yeah.
And I know that for a lot of our water birds and our wading birds, particularly our shore birds, for any listeners in North America, and that throughout a lot of the year, their cycles aren't based around daylight at all. They go on the basis of the tides when the food is available. So when it is low tide and the mudflats are all exposed, even if that is the middle of the night, they'll be out feeding, especially if there's ambient light like there would be around Cork Harbour.
Yeah.
And then if there's high tide, even if it's the middle of the day, if it's noon, they will go and sleep, because their feeding grounds are cut off for them. They may as well catch up on the sleep and rest then. So these cycles, it varies from bird to bird, whereas if you're like a blackbird or a robin in your woodland, you don't care about the tides at all.
No.
So it's evolved over millions of years in different species that have different cycles.
And what's really, I find, unbelievable is, like, yeah, people are aware of Harper's Island. We've been there a few times, but the roosting area, when the mud is covered, like you just said, is you cannot see the mud flats from where they roost. Okay? Mm. It's like hopping over a wall. You can't see the tide, but yet they all leave and go out when the mud is exposed. And that means they have a sense of time as well as, you know, they know when they can snap, but they know when they got to go out and feed.
And that sense of time, it won't be on a 24-hour clock because the tides don't follow that.
Oh.
So they have a different sense. It's amazing.
I think it's mind-blowing.
Will you hang on, both of you, for the moment, because I want to bring in Eric Dempsey at this point. Eric is in County Wicklow, and you heard Aoife Keighley when she was giving that wonderful weather forecast all over Ireland. And she mentioned Wicklow, Eric, saying that the weather was going to be fantastic.
It is a beautiful night here, absolutely gorgeous. It's still, it's clear. There's a chill in the air, which is nice. So that should be good for sounds. And I'm in my back garden in County Wicklow, just south of Newcastle, the lovely village of Newcastle, and about one kilometre from East Coast Nature Reserve, the wonderful Birdwatch Ireland Reserve. So I'm in paradise really here. I've set up a microphone especially in hope that we will hear a woodpecker drumming. We have a pair of woodpeckers that are in the garden, and we believe they may nest very close, if not in one of the old trees at the back of our garden. But we have a male which is using an old oak tree in the corner of our garden as a drumming sounding board, as it were. It's there's hollows and it has lovely resonance. And he has been drumming on and off all day today, and he's been doing this for the last couple of weeks. So, fingers crossed, we will get a great spotted woodpecker. But as you say, never work with animals or children.
There it is, Eric. That's your recording.
I recorded that this afternoon,
wow.
Derek. Yeah.
And you'll hear the great spotted woodpecker doing its thing, drumming. There you go again. So is it only the male that drums, or does the female drum as well, Eric?
It's mostly the male, but the female will drum on occasions. And if you recall a few weeks ago, Derek, I managed to get a recording of both a male and a female drumming back to him. And it's the first time I've ever heard a female drumming. Females can drum, but it's the first time in watching woodpeckers that I've ever heard or seen the female drumming. And he would drum very loudly first, and she would give it a shorter, weaker drum back, but it was almost like a ritual calling to each other. And then she joined him in the main tree where he continued drumming. So that was a very unusual and a very exciting experience for me, because I'd never seen that before.
Okay, could I read some emails if you don't mind? Greetings from Brooklyn, New York. Congratulations on your 30th anniversary. We are so excited to join another year's Dawn Chorus, one of our favourite events of the year, Micheál and Cathy. Well, hello, Micheál and Cathy. We're sending a big wave across the Atlantic, all the way out to the Big Apple. Another one here listening at the moment, just getting off the water from a night kayak trip in West Cork, sitting under the moon and stars, listening to the heron chicks getting fed. Looking forward to the chorus. Jim Kennedy, another one. Hi, Derek. Hoping you're having a lovely morning in lovely Cork. I'm actually in the studios in Donnybrook. Jim and Niall are in Cork. Any chance of the Saw Doctors? Only slagging, he says. Here in Milltown on the N17, beautiful moon shining in, crystal clear skies and lovely stars glowing brightly as I head to the nest. Can I say hello to my family, please? Irla, Breffany, Niamh and Dervla. From Dad, Yeah Malloy. Hoping you enjoy and keep up the good work. And another one just listening about the woodpecker. One arrived at my feeders the day after Storm Eowyn. Wasn't it Eowyn? Isn't that what it was called? Eowyn?
Yeah, the last one.
Here in North Longford, and is visiting every day since. Just wondering, has he, stroke she, a mate? I only ever see the one, asks Chris. Now, the reason we're featuring the great spotted woodpecker and the drumming is that that's part of the communication thing. And the Dawn Chorus and the birds singing in the morning, mostly males, are all singing, we think, to hold territory and attract a mate. So do you think she or he has got a mate?
It's possible that he or she does have a mate. It would be important for that person to have a look at that woodpecker that's on the feeder, and to see if there's a little red spot on the back of the neck. because that will indicate that the bird is a male.
Okay, well, Eric, we've got Chris. Let's say hello to Chris. Good morning, Chris.
Hi, how are you?
Well, there's Eric and Niall and Jim, and they are the experts. So you ask them your question because they have a few questions for you too. So go ahead.
I was just wondering, it's just the one that has appeared on the day after Storm Eoghan. Very oddly, it appears it might have been he, she, it, they, them, might have been blown off track. And it's just been visiting several times every day since. And I was just wondering, I've only ever seen the one.
Chris, the question I was about to pose was, when it's on the feeder and you can see the bird well, does it have a red spot on the back of the head?
No, not that I can see. No, it's very frightful. Yeah. Anytime I go to take a picture at the window, it's watching me as much as I'm watching it.
Yeah, but if it has a red spot on the back of the neck, it's a male. If it doesn't, it's a female. So firstly, you're able to tell whether it's male or female by that one feature alone. It may well have a mate. Like, we have a male and a female coming into our garden, but they act quite separately and quite independently. So it may well be that you have a female coming into your garden, but a male might be visiting somebody else's garden. So if during the sort of the real breeding season, it's taking nuts and just flying away, then it may well be breeding close by and feeding a little bit older young with the nuts.
Yes,
they give them grubs and things at the beginning, but as they get older, they will feed the young sort of peanuts and things like that as well. So it would be useful to watch its behaviour over the next few weeks.
Yeah.
So it may well be a lone female. I mean, they still are just colonising across the country. I was in an area not far from Ballymahon, which is on the Longford. I think it is in Longford.
Yeah.
I had a male woodpecker drumming there about 2 weeks ago. They are getting a foothold into these counties, into the Midland counties at the moment.
It
might be a year or two before you'll start hearing them drumming closely.
Well, it was just interesting to know if it is operating alone or how would it operate alone. And I was kind of wondering how or what was going to be the end. Would it just disappear again?
It might disappear, but keep putting the nuts out because they will feed throughout the summer.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It was very interesting to see initially, and I thought, oh, this is going to last. This is only a flash in the pan. But anyway, so far, so good.
So far, so good. Thank you very much indeed, Chris. Will you be awake for the dawn chorus, is the question.
I will try.
Will we be awake for the dawn chorus, is the real question.
Well, hopefully. Oh, yes, indeed. Okay, well, thanks
for getting
in touch.
Thanks. Very much appreciated.
Cheers.
Don't forget,
bye-bye.
You can email Mooney at rte.ie or you can text 51551. We've had another text here from Nathan who says, "Hi, Derek, listening from Puebla, Central Mexico." Can you believe it? Great work. Enjoying the show. And when I said at the top of the program, wherever you're tuning in the world, people thought I was mad. We get listeners all over the world to this program. And in fact, next year, we've even bigger plans for the Dawn Chorus. We've just scaled it back a little bit this year.
Wimbrel. Oh,
no,
nice.
No, that's beautiful.
Oh, because I think we had an email about Wimbrel. Michelle, can you pop in, please?
Yep.
It's like a slightly smaller cousin of the curlew. If you know the curlew, with its long, curved beak and its kind of variegated brown plumage. The Wimbrel is a kind of a smaller version. The beak isn't as long and it doesn't curve quite as far down. And their headdress is different. They've got a very dark crown with usually a nice clear center parting, basically, just like someone if they center part their hair.
Since we've done that.
Here's again.
It's gone again, yeah.
Stunning.
These are birds migrating over Cork Harbour as we speak. And we've been lucky enough to have Barry O'Mahony, registered, experienced bird ringer, one of the most experienced in the country. And he's actually been catching them and ringing them at Harper's Island Wetlands. And we have one Wimbrel that has come back 5 years in a row within the same week and on 3 of the years on the same day. And I had one that I filmed on Wednesday night, a Wimbrel, in Harper's Island Wetlands. It was ringed in 2019 by Barry in Harper's Island Wetlands, and it was seen 4 times since, all within 5 days of each other. Isn't that, I mean, that's incredible.
Let's have a listen to Michelle with this email that came in about Wimbrel.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yes, so Bobby from Belmullet was on, and he was saying that he saw some, he wasn't sure whether Wimble or Curlews in a field in Belmullet next to where he was. And they fed for 4 days before they went on to, he presumes, Western Africa. And he saw them in 2018, and then he saw a much larger flock this year, 38 returning, and he just feels the numbers coming back are getting bigger.
So I've seen the photograph there, and I can confirm that they are indeed Wimbrels. So these are really interesting birds. You're saying about amazing, Jim, how they're returning to the same site at the same time, because this is a passage migrant. So it's an unusual bird. It doesn't breed in Ireland. It doesn't spend the winter in Ireland. It's just passing through for a period of just a few weeks each spring and each autumn. They stop off here to, well, not all of them do, but many of them stop off here to refuel. And those birds may be heading back right now to their breeding grounds in Iceland, somewhere like that.
Yeah, we're pretty sure pretty much all of them are heading for Iceland. You get quite a population in the Faroe Islands as well, and there's a few in Scotland even. What's quite amazing is our colleagues in Iceland and Portugal, they've actually put tags on some of these Wimbrel, and we've only discovered in the last 4 years, I think, 5 years, that in the autumn, almost all of them fly directly from Iceland to West Africa. 5,000 kilometres in 5 days non-stop. But it's only when they're coming north that most of them stop off along the way. And they reckon it's due to the weather conditions, the prevailing winds and that. It's not as easy coming up as going down. Mm. And even the young ones are doing this it's literally a transatlantic, but from Iceland to West Africa, Mauritania, Senegal, and places like that. I mean, and that's what those birds, you've heard them live here on the programme. Those birds are actually migrating, and the fact that it's a beautiful, moonlit, clear night is perfect for night migrant birds. And there'd be other species as well doing that, but with the moon and
it goes again.
Wow. Oh man, and we're not making this up, folks.
Know that. And can I just say, well done to our sound engineers there, Tom and Ruth, and to David here. The microphones are in the right place, and we're picking up those sounds. It's just incredible. Can I just bring in Jim Kennedy? I read out Jim's email a little bit earlier on. Jim was on the kayak, and he just come back from a night kayak. Hello, Jim. How are you?
Hi, how are you going? Nice to hear you.
Nice to hear you too. So you were listening to the sounds of the heron chicks getting fed. Where exactly were you?
Yeah, we're in Castlehaven Bay, down by a place called Rinnean Woods. And there's a heronry there, and right next to them there's also a load of egrets' nests. So it's amazing to watch them. And nighttime it's like a troop of monkeys when you hear the young clucking away, and then they get agitated, and we know then that the adults are coming in with food for them. So it's fantastic to be listening to it.
You remember, Derek, that one year we did the programme, the Dawn Chorus programme from St Anne's Park in Clontarfraheeny in Dublin, and we had some microphones up in the nests of the mixed colony there of grey herons and little egrets, and the sounds they make are utterly bizarre. That must have been a treat in the kayak.
I was going to say that.
It's incredible.
Because kayaking, you can get closer to birds, even seabirds, because they don't view a human being in a kayak, be it a sea kayak or a river kayak, as a human being. You're sort of just a floating log, or you're a whale or a dolphin. Those who do sea kayaking can tend to get very close to birds without disturbing them. And it must be a lovely experience to be out kayaking tonight on a moonlit night like tonight. It must be a beautiful experience.
It's amazing. We do it all the time down here from May to October. But nights like this are particularly incredible. And, we see the barnows. The barnows come very close to us as well. They glide overhead. We hear them screeching. Then we tell all about the story of the banshee. And it's so the bird life, the wildlife gets so close to us, dolphins as well. And we do it very gently, so very quietly, very slow. So, as you say, they don't know we're human. They think we're half fish.
Brilliant.
But we love this show every year, Derek. Well done. It's fantastic. Because we also do night or dawn chorus trips in our kayaks down here. And we have Nicholas Mitchell from Birdwatch West Cork. He comes as our expert, and it's fantastic to do it with him.
Well,
he's been
terrific.
Doing it for years now.
It's one of those experiences on radio that everybody can listen to, and you can dip in and dip out of it, and I think it's wonderful. I think if we've done one thing in the last 30 years, it's certainly highlighted the importance and the relevance to our lives of the Dawn Chorus, and I genuinely mean that. Jim, thank you very much indeed for coming in.
We have
another question about woodpeckers from Eugene. He says, "Hi all, thanks so much for yet another Dawn Chorus. Talking about woodpeckers, when I was staying with a friend in northern Norway in 24-hour daylight, that's an odd one, I've been through that, a woodpecker start drumming on a metal clothesline at stupid o'clock. I looked it up, and sometimes they do drum on metal poles because the sound travels much further. Do you know anything about this?"
Well, I have experienced that myself. I remember being up in the Norwegian Arctic with the venerable Dr. Richard Collins for the programme, and we had that exact experience, Derek, where it was 24 hours of daylight. So the whole idea of a dawn chorus goes out the window because there is no dawn, or well, there is, but there's one, and then it's another 3 months before you have night again, before you have dusk. But also, one of the reasons I think why they do it in those areas, and it happens in parts of Canada, I know as well, is because actually there are areas there of tundra where there are very few trees. So these birds have colonised... little grebe there. Mm-hmm. I love that whinnying sound there. We'll keep interrupting the conversation with pointing out these birds. But I think in those areas, those birds, the woodpeckers there, they benefit from the proximity to humans. So that maybe allows them to colonise or thrive in an area they otherwise wouldn't. But there aren't so many trees. And they have learned, yes, that these metal poles can make the sound go further. They're not really any good for nesting in. They can't excavate a hole in them, but they can use them to bang out.
Sorry, Niall, I don't want to cut you off in mid-flight, but I think we should listen to the little grebe, given that it's putting on a bit of a performance. So where exactly is that, Jim?
That's out on the lagoon or the lake, looking south. There's people going home after a night out.
A bit of alarm going on there, isn't there?
Isn't it?
Sedge warbler going on there.
Yes, there is.
So where would the sedge warbler be?
In the reed bed, almost certainly.
On the lake as well.
Oh, yeah, there we go. You can hear it chack, chack, chack. If those cars would all pass away, it was quiet.
They're probably listening to RT Radio 1, truth be told.
They're rushing home, Derek, to get the Ovaltine.
RTE Lyric FM.
Mallard.
Do you know, it's beautiful. I'm just hearing that mallard in my headphones off to the left.
Yeah. Was it to the left? Okay,
well, I don't listen to anything in stereo anymore. Proper stereo, you know. Like the Beatles used to do it.
If it's off to the left, it's on the east side of the lake. We have two fantastic microphones, one angle towards the west side of the lagoon and one towards the east. But both sort of in the general
direction. Am I to call it the lagoon or the lake, Jim? The lagoon sounds way too fancy for Cork.
Well, I'll tell you, no, we have lagoons all over the place down here. A lagoon technically is neither fresh water nor salt water. It's a mixture of both. And like I mentioned with the causeway and us being below sea level, where we are here on the reserve, at high tide... you don't get the water coming in. There's a little tidal flap, but at low tide, you get water going out. So you get some salt water coming in, but not enough to make it completely salty. There's the little grebe. That is amazing. And that's why it's called a lagoon. That's the definition of a lagoon. So technically, it's a lagoon, but we often refer, people would refer to it as a lake. So I don't pull them up on that. It's one or the other. But there's a lot of activity out there.
And
as you were saying, Niall, maybe the moonlit night.
Yes.
They're more active.
There is quite a bit of ambient light around. We can see it. So just to set the scene for the listeners, we're under sort of a little canopy here at the moment. We have a light so we can see each other and see the
and
table.
And jacuzzi on the
side, absolutely, and
swimming pool on the other.
Yeah, the butler will be here any moment. But the fact is, just around us, when you look out from underneath this awning above us, actually there is a bit more light than you would normally have so late in the night. Yeah. That may be what's prompting it. The moon is glorious.
You can see it. We can see it through the conifer trees. Wimbrel. That bird must have been like just sitting on the microphone. Sometimes when they come in off the Atlantic, I was lucky enough to do a lot of study on them back in the 70s. They would land for a while. Some might stay like a few hours, but others, especially this time, May is getting towards the like sort of middle end. At this stage we're on the 3rd or 4th of May. By the 10th or 15th of May, usually they're all gone from Cork Harbour. But they might just drop in to the nearest land. They may have flown from France or even northern Spain or even from North Africa. I'm not joking, and this could be their first landfall. They'll have a quick look around, but they're anxious to get to Iceland. They might. They'll. By the way, they prefer to feed on crabs and things. You often see them up in the seaweed more often than out in the mud. They're, like the curlew is normally found. And if they get a bit of food, that, you know, refills the fuel tanks, and then they head off again. But that bird definitely must have been very low.
And it's amazing when you think about it, Jim, isn't it? That bird, its only experience of land could be a bit of Mauritania, most likely, in Africa. Yeah. This part of Cork, and then Iceland. And that's its world. It's amazing.
It is amazing.
Yeah. That's proper singing. That is a song.
That's a song.
Sedge Warbler.
That Sedge Warbler is in song. But it's not dawn, so it doesn't count.
Yes, that hasn't been prompted by the first glimmer of the sun in the sky, because that's a long way off.
And we know that those cars, you've got the town of Cove to the east and Ballymore, which is off to the east, Cove to the west. And, you know, by the time we get to the Dawn Chorus, most sensible people will be at home, either listening to the programme, hopefully, so we won't have so much of the background noise. But that's a fact of life, and I'm sure if Eric is still with us, Eric,
indeed,
there's been a lot of studies, hasn't there, about birds in urban areas having to shout louder, basically.
Yeah, they're singing louder in cities because they have to sort of be heard above the noise of traffic, whereas in the quieter areas, the song doesn't need to sort of compete with the background sounds of our towns and cities, which is quite sad, really, when you think of it. But I'm sort of born and reared in Dublin. I'm now living, you know, in the quiet of the countryside, and everything is so much clearer. You know, even the night sky is clearer, and bird sounds are clearer. But then a car goes by in the distance, and that is even clearer because, you know, it's not competing with anything else. It's the sound of the countryside, or I should say, even the lack of noise in the countryside, is such a special treat that I think people who live in rural areas take it for granted, but for a city lad like myself, it's such a beautiful sound of silence, as they say.
Let's bring in Anya. She has a question. Hello, Anya.
Hi, Derek. I just emailed you there just to say that I actually kissed a willow warbler today.
You what?
You kissed a willow warbler today?
Yeah.
How did you kiss a willow warbler?
The poor thing, he actually crashed into our sunroom window, and I went out, picked him up, and I just had him in the palm of my hand. So I was just trying to bring it back to a little bit of light, and I just gave it a little stroke, a little kiss, and a drop of water in the palm of my hand, and eventually it came back to life.
Oftentimes when they hit a window, they're stunned. And we have a little cardboard box we call our bird ambulance. We have silhouettes on all of our windows, but we do occasionally get a bird strike. We usually just put it into a cardboard box and keep it in the dark, and keep it, you know, there for maybe 30 minutes. You'll often find that once they're sort of kept in the dark, they recover very quickly, and 9 times out of 10, you open that box and they're gone like a light, you know. So
it's
a wonderful thing to hold a little bird like that.
Oh, it was amazing. I've never kissed a bird before.
Neither have I.
Yeah.
You've heard it first, on Mooney.
Yeah, it was fabulous. And it eventually, when it recovered, it went up and sat into the Cotoni Aster at the front of our house and just stayed there and recovered itself. And I checked it about 3 times, and then the 4th time, it was gone.
Brilliant.
Yeah. A unique experience. I'm glad
it all worked out. It was amazing. Yeah. It's great to be on the show, actually. My mum, she's gone there about 1.5 years, but she absolutely loves the Dawn Chorus. Yeah,
brilliant.
So thanks for taking my call. Thank you.
Well, no, thank you for talking to us, and you are an angel.
Thank you.
Bye. We have an email from Irene, who saw roughly 25, wait for this, guys, to 30 Wimbrel in a field near Rossmore Pier on the shores of Loch Derg on Thursday last. Fabulous sight to see. nature at its best, I think it said there. And we've got Catherine. Hello, Catherine.
Hi, good night. How are you?
Where are you?
I'm out on Inishmore tonight. And? I arrived here today, so.
What's going on?
We just noticed there now, we were up chatting, whatever. We noticed the cuckoo. We can hear the cuckoo for the past hour or so. During the night, so we're wondering, are we hearing things or is it actually the cuckoo? But it appears to be quite...
Well, I don't want to get too personal, active. But are you in the labba at the moment?
I was, but now I'm not.
You're not in the labba now. So was the cuckoo calling at the front or the back or the side of the house?
We went out to listen. I'm here, my sister.
You're outside now, are you?
But it's quite a wind. No, but it's quite a windy night. And when I came, I can hear it better inside than when I'm outside. It was, I suppose, the side of the house, really.
So just, can you kind of open the door and see, or a window or something? Obviously, I don't do anything. You know, be careful is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'll go out again now and see. But seemingly, now it was this evening I arrived, but it's quite, my parents are here too, and my dad was saying that he can hear the cuckoo a lot during the day today. And you hear now I'm outside. Gone quiet again. Yeah. No, I can't hear it right now. It was mainly the you know, the cuckoo, but the... Oh, I just hear it there in a second. Yeah.
Yeah,
I heard, I got it there, yes.
Yeah. Hang on, guys, everybody say quiet.
I just put the phone out.
Yep.
I just put the phone out. Can you hear that? I don't know if you can hear that, but...
Not hearing it just now. I did hear a snippet of it when you first said it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's such a distinctive sound when you hear it. Like there's no mistaking it.
Because all day today, seemingly, as I said, they could hear it all day today. And now, as I said, tonight we thought we were hearing things. But no, there it is. Yeah.
Well, we were running a series of promos on RT Radio 1 all this week. Catherine and myself and Niall and Jim and Eric and Aina and Terry and Richard were doing impressions of our favourite Birds of the Dawn chorus. And it inspired a lot of people to get in touch with RTE. This voice message came in. Have a listen from Fergal Smith.
I'm going to call a cuckoo.
Throughout the morning, calls, emails and sound recordings flooded in. But at 3:30 a.m. Irish time, we had a date with our colleagues from Finland's National Broadcasting Service.
Email Mooney at rte.ie. The Dawn Chorus, live from Ireland on RTE Radio 1 and RTE Lyric FM.
And I can say good morning to Mina Pika. Good morning,
good
Mina.
Good morning. Yes.
Where are you?
This is Lohja. This is an area about 60 kilometers west of Helsinki, yes, in Finland. And this is a beautiful place where I'm with Jan Södersfred from BirdLife Finland. And this is actually area where you have been living for a long time.
Yeah, it's only about 3 kilometers from here. That's the right way. I've been living there for nearly 30 years already, so I know these places pretty well.
And you know these birds also quite well. And we have been here ever since midnight, and this has been a wonderful morning, actually. And it's been really calm, but quite cold. Quite cold, so we have a lot of clothes on.
Yeah, it's very close to 0 degrees at the moment. Yeah, so you could say it's cold.
We could say so. But let's go through this morning. What have we experienced? When we came here, it wasn't quiet at all.
No, it wasn't quiet. And yeah, we have had really an very, very nice night. You could say, yeah. The bitterns, there were actually 3 bitterns very close to each other here at this bay. This is like a bay of a large lake. And they have been booming all night, at least 3 males. There have been several geese species, great white-fronted barnacle and bean geese. They have been spending the night here at the bay, and just maybe half an hour ago, they went to the fields for foraging, and Well,
they like to be. They like to have water around them when they are during nighttime.
Yeah,
it
gives them shelter. So they are spending the night usually at sites like these. And now, yeah, you can hear the sedge warbler singing now.
Yes.
At the beaten booming.
Let's listen for a while.
It's a reed bunting. It's very simple. Common snipe.
But now it's sun has risen. I think it happened 5:12 Finnish time, which is there in Ireland you are 2 hours behind us, but here we have actually this moment when the birds should be singing the most, but now we don't hear not so much.
No, actually there are several species that start in good time before the sunrise, like blackbird, and usually the thrushes, they are singing 1.5 hours before sunrise. And it thrashed here about 20 minutes ago. The chaffinch has been singing nearly 1 hour before sunrise, and also blue teeth, great teeth. And now you can hear the whooper swans.
Yes.
There's a one pair breeding, you can see it just behind us.
Oh, that now actually sun is really, really lighting that area there next to the lake. Yeah. It's almost shining with this ochre color. And there in the middle, there's this swan.
Yeah, just in the middle of those reed beds. And there's also, well, you can see it now, but there was a marsh harrier. It's also breeding in the reed beds. And the male showed himself really nicely already this morning.
We cannot see the nest, but we can see.
Yeah,
know the place where it is.
When we were hearing the bittern there, that wonderful deep booming resonant sound, we were listening to it, and Dave back in at base he's monitoring the levels, and he said it was clocking in at 125 hertz, which is very, very low pitched. It's incredible.
Is. Yeah, and you can hear it from a very, very large distance. I remember once I heard a bittern and just had to check from the map. It was 8 kilometers away.
Wow!
Wow!
Just for the benefit of Eric and Niall and Jim, if you were to leave Cove and walk via Kilcool in County Wicklow to Loha, where Mina and Jan are now, it's about 3,412 kilometres, and it would take you about 18 days, 15 hours and 53 minutes. So if you were to leave now... That's a lovely sound. There's something really magical about hearing the birds sing at dawn. It's like the world is slowly waking up, and the birds are the first ones to say, good morning. Every year, it's a little different, but that feeling of connection to nature is always the same. Whether you're hearing robins, blackbirds, or something more exotic, like the deep booming call of the bittern, the beauty of the dawn chorus never gets old. Finland were 2 hours ahead of us. We'd have to wait a while before the Irish birds woke up. Time for another call from the Southern Hemisphere. Marie Crystal Vaughan, and she's calling from the Sunshine Coast in Queensland, Australia. Hello, Marie, how are you?
Good morning, Derek. Oh, I'm very nervous, I'm afraid. It's currently lashing rain on the Sunshine Coast. And you guys, you know, you're so knowledgeable and such auspicious company. It's absolutely marvellous. Hooray for the Dawn Chorus every year on the Sunshine Coast in Queensland.
Well, what have you got there? Have you got anything singing there at the moment?
I'll have to get on my IT expert because he's got the kookaburras laughing on his phone. So we have 17 birds, Derek, in the property, 2 acres. And will you put your kookaburra thing on for me? So there you are. That's what we do here. There you are. That's our John chorus.
Oh my God. I think I'd like it for about a half an hour.
There's nothing finesse about it. It's great to talk to you all there on the Gone Chorus. I'm so impressed.
We have to ask you where you're from originally because you're not from Queensland.
I come from the beautiful county of Sligo and there's nowhere like it, is there? Sligo Town.
And how long have you been out there?
I came out in 1982. So a wee while ago, yeah.
And you're, so you're never backwards coming home, forwards. You're staying there, are you?
Oh, sure, backwards and forwards, like a yo-yo. You know how it is, you never have any money because you're all the time up in the bloody air going backwards and forwards.
Oh, well, never mind your carbon footprint.
So never mind, it doesn't matter.
But listen, you've brought us a great bit of sunshine this morning, so thank you very much indeed, Marie. We really do appreciate it.
It's been my pleasure. And I just will say, you are the excuse why I'm late for work on occasion because I just have to listen to the end of the show and then I hit the traffic. So, Derek Mooney, you're responsible for me being late getting to work on occasion.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I'll take that as a compliment. And thanks on behalf of the entire team as well. So, Marie, thanks very much indeed. Good day or bye.
Yeah, God bless.
It was about 1:45 p.m. in Queensland, Australia, and 4:45 a.m. in Cork at Kuskany Marsh Nature Reserve when the Irish birds were in full song. And oh boy, it was wonderful. This morning?
Yes, we had around 50 people out in Tolka Valley Park with Connecting Cabra and the Tolka branch of Birdwatch Ireland. Tolka Valley Park is very special because it used to be burnt out cars and stray horses, and Dublin City Council have done a wonderful job and put in wetlands and ponds. So we had lovely views of dipper, grey wagtail, lots of black caps and willow warblers, and 50 people who have got up at 5 a.m. and aren't bird watchers, but have just, I think, really enjoyed seeing the dawn chorus and sun rising and all the birds. It's been a wonderful, wonderful morning.
Well, Brian, thank you very much indeed. I do appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.